under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. And usually, I try to recall giving you the telephone number so you can call in. Oftentimes, I forget to do so as I get caught up and involved in the dialogue and discussion myself. But at the advance of this broadcast, let me remind you, it is our broadcast. The show is designed for you, the listener. We set the stage. We ask the questions, invite you to join in the dialogue and the discussion about the issue of the day. We're talking about today, will we be deceived again? And I'm talking about COVID and the COVID lie and the deception that took place that is the cause of millions of deaths, hundreds of thousands of those that lost their business, their health, et cetera, as a result of it. I've got Dr. Reed Sheftall with me today. We're going to be talking about that. We'll introduce him in a few moments. But that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. 0917. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as I do each and every day on this broadcast, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word says in Matthew chapter 20, chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I believe in application, we can apply that truth today. I believe as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You say, well, how does that equate to understanding? What does it do in my life? We need to understand what's happening. We need to recognize what is taking place. We need to understand the dangers that loom before us. And as I've said so many times on this broadcast, as we look at the scripture, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we need to understand God's progressive revelation of himself to man. As we look in the scripture, we see what God has done, what God is doing, what God shall do. Therefore, anything that takes place today and everything that takes place locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally, we need to examine it through the prism of the Word of God. This is the reason I call it having a central biblicist worldview. And by the way, I've never read that in printed form with any book, any place, any theologian. I coined that term many years ago, a central biblicist worldview. That means we view everything through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? And in the day and time in which we're living, I believe we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And as we think on that subject, as we get into the essence of the broadcast today, may I remind you, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, forever is a pretty good length of time. And I'm so thankful that we can place our head on the soft pillow of knowing that God is still on the throne, that God is still sovereign, that God is still in control. Howbeit, we find those in society today that will out and out reject truth. Now, I do not try to promote George Orwell, the secularist. He did say some things that have come to fruition. One of those things he said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, he said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factual today. If you don't believe that, watch some of the Senator Ron Johnson investigatory committees where he's tried to interview those to get to the point of what's happening in relationship, what has happened, what is happening, what shall happen as the potential for COVID-19. And the lies and the deception from all of those health agencies that we have looked at as being revered in our governmental system, from the CIA to the FDA, the NIH, the CDC, et cetera, all of them involved in the deception that brought America to its knees, killed millions of people globally, and destroyed the lives, the health, and the advantages of hundreds of thousands in America. We're talking about some of those residuums that we find today as a result of yesterday. This is the reason I'm saying, will we be deceived again? I go back to the Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator. The Senator DeMint said the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. What do you do when truth is dead? What do you do when truth is elusive? What do you do when there's no such thing as absolute truth? Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, in part, made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. Yet according to the latest survey, according to the writings in response to investigatory survey among the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, the headline reads, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, in the survey, they discovered that 55% of the millennials make this statement. Each person determines their own view of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, without truth, we have nothing to turn to, nothing to hold on to. This is the reason it's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. Psalms 117:2. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Now, I don't know if Charlie Kirk ever read that or not. I don't know if he ever read behind some of the things of Jan Hus. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Charlie Kirk was doing when his life was snuffed out by an angry bullet from an individual that rejected the truth of what Kirk was saying. I admire the work that he did, and it's my prayer that his life and legacy might continue in the society in which we're living today. It is impacting millions of lives, and I'm so thankful for it. That's what truth is supposed to do, is for us to be willing to stand and defend the truth. And may I say to you, as I've said so many times on this broadcast, a half-truth is a whole lie. We must embrace the truth. Whether we like it or not, whether it appeals to us or not, truth is still truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find these folks? They're located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once more, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the warning in the Scripture. Shared it just a moment ago, that we need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. All of us, and I believe you also recall it, if you are a listener for any length of time, we've talked about it a number of times, the need to go back and reflect on the serious health threats that we have faced in the past number of years. But ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, I'll not take time to turn to it and read it, but it warns us, God's word warns us, that in the last days we'll have diseases, pestilences, it's called in the King James text, and we're finding that to be true. In fact, I have in the studio with me today Dr. Reed Sheftall. We'll introduce him and his critique of his bio and who he is and his background in just a moment. We're delighted to have him with us. But right now, we have across America, different places in America, the warning about different diseases. In the state of New York, it's monkeypox. In the state of Texas, they're talking about the diamondback tick, that's supposed to be so dangerous. The thought eluded me for a moment. Then in recent days, there's been a screaming cry of a pathogen, a virus, a bacteria that's in Michigan that's spreading. Had 1 week, they had 50, the next week 700 cases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each of these cases, individually, may not sound alarming, but they're saying that's, quote, I'm using the media's term, it's spreading across America. In New York, they talked about monkeypox. It's spreading across America, we've been told. The hankavirus that was on the ships recently, they said it will spread across America. And now they're even talking about the potential of a reoccurrence, hear me, a reoccurrence of COVID-19. In fact, Pfizer has just been awarded $1.24 billion contract for a new deadly virus antidote, if you please, supposedly, that I call it the death shot. Now, you can say, I don't believe that. That's okay. I'm a no-vaxxer, and yet I'm not by myself, and it's not conspiracy theory, as we were told back in 2019, 2020, 21, 22, that anybody that said anything or questioned anything about the COVID-19 pathogen and its source, its origin, or the vaccine that Pfizer, Moderna, and others had come up with, that somehow we were conspiracy theorists. Well, it's amazing that our conspiracy theory has been coming about as the COVID onion has been peeled layer by layer by layer. Robert Kennedy has just said recently, I didn't realize this until Kennedy's report, that a child 6 months old to 16, I believe 16 or 18, 6 months old and up, been getting 70, over that lifetime period, that period of time, 73 different vaccinations, 73 different ones. He's basically said no to all of them except maybe two or three. Even at that, I say no. So we're going to talk with Dr. Sheftall in a moment. What does a vaccine do? Is it efficacious? Is it safe? What is the vaccine, especially the COVID vaccine? What did it do? What it is still possible to do? And why we should be concerned about it? I'm talking about this today because my question is, and I believe it begs to be asked, demands to be answered. Will we be deceived again? That's the bottom line. That's the basic question. We were deceived by the CDC, the FDA, the NIH. Dr. Fauci sat with, on several occasions, according to the hundreds of thousands of documents of emails that came out of Tulsi Gabbard's office that she found stashed away, email conversations and communications with many of these players, and especially with the CIA. And the CIA was swayed to believe Dr. Fauci was telling the truth, so therefore they stood behind his lie, which I personally believe is the cause of millions of deaths and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of those that have been debilitated for the rest of their lives, depending on Big Pharma. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm questioning the medical establishment in toto. I have questions about medical research, medical reasoning, and the research papers that comes out. Why is it swayed? What is the reason? Where did the money come from? Who are they answerable to? Is this real, or is this simply a lie that's been bought for us to be deceived by? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have with us today. Let me just read from the back of his third book, his latest book. Dr. Reed Scheftel, a medical doctor, is a heart surgeon, plastic and reconstructive surgeon, and cardiac surgeon. He was a MIT physics major, a former professional golfer, author, filmmaker, and humanitarian. He performed pediatric cardiac surgery in Cambodia through Operation Kids and is the author of multi-volume sanctioned series. That's the book that I'm holding in my hand. The title of this one is The SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation. Dr. Scheftel, thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Now, I had to laugh when I read that. A former professional golfer. This man still golfs, and I understand he shoots a pretty good game. And so, I'm not a golfer, but I have heard the details about it, Dr. Scheftel. But thank you for being here. Take a few moments and talk about you, your background, some of the things that you've done, your passion for what you're doing, and why you've investigative work. You have researched, written, and published three books about the subject of COVID-19.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for having me again, and I hope the your audience isn't tiring of me too much, because my beliefs on this are very strong, mm-hmm. and the purpose that I have in life now is no longer really golf, but it's to educate the public the best I can and prevent these crazy things from happening again. Mm-hmm. They've been happening over and over and over since 1900. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there's ever been a pandemic after studying this very, very carefully. And I'm reminded, since we're talking about sports a little bit, of Vitas Gerulaitis, who finally beat Bjorn Borg. Do you remember Bjorn Borg and that
I've heard the name. That's
Jimmy
all I
Connors
know.
And John McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, yes. Vitas Gerulaitis. Vitas finally beat Bjorn Borg the 17th time they played, and he made a famous quote after he won that match. He said, "Nobody beats Vitas Gerulaitis 17 times in a row," which we all thought was very funny.
Yeah.
And that reminds me a little bit of how many times the public has been tricked by these viral pandemics. If you read volume one of my book, I talked about the 1976 swine flu pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that was really an incredible story. Mm-hmm. And Mike Wallace even did an expose on it on 60 Minutes. And I really encourage people to read the book and read the story. Because the United States government, the CDC, at the helm, Dr. David Sensor was the director at the time, had the public take a vaccine for swine flu after they thought it was discovered at Fort Dix in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He had 45 million Americans take a vaccine for a disease where there wasn't even one single case confirmed anywhere in the world during the 7 months it took to prepare the vaccine to be injected. Mm-hmm. Not a single case was confirmed anywhere in the world, and 45 million people took the vaccine between October 1st, 1976 and December 15th. And the reason they stopped it on December 15th is because it had already killed 674 people.
Correct.
And hundreds of people had gotten Guillain-Barré syndrome and were paralyzed. And they feature one of those ladies in Mike Wallace's 60 Minutes report. And you can watch it on YouTube if you want. The link is in my book. I actually put the link in the book because you absolutely must see that video to see how incredibly gullible the public is and how easily deceived they are. And frankly, how evil some of these three-letter agencies are getting people to take a vaccine for a disease that didn't even exist. Mm-hmm. And that's similar to what happened with COVID. There was no separate disease, COVID-19. It was just a rebranding of atypical pneumonia, what we have come to call the flu. That's why the flu cases went to zero.
Yes. Take a few moments, and some of our listeners may not have heard your dialogue on that. In the comparison and the contrast and the rationale behind you saying there's no such thing as COVID. Some people might totally misinterpret, misunderstand that.
Sure. Well, According to Tedros, who is the head of the WHO, if you remember this, and you probably remember the actual thing he did, he got up on the podium and said, there are 14 cases of atypical pneumonia at the Huanan Seafood Wet Market. And I think you remember the wet market theory, yeah. Don't you? There are 14 cases of atypical pneumonia at the Huanan Seafood Wet Market, and they're caused by a novel coronavirus. He just came right out and said that in January of 2020, and of course he had no justification for saying
it. Pulled it right out of his ear.
Absolutely pulled it out of thin air. Uh-huh. Of course it was all planned for him to get on TV and say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Gates had already bought shares in the vaccine by this time.
Right.
Which was actually 3 months before they even discovered the virus. And that's quite a trick, isn't
yes.
it? How do you do that? Well, the only way that you do that is if you know that this whole story is going to be made up and it's going to be sprung
up. If it is planned, yes.
Because Bill Gates is not the kind of person to throw away $500 million without knowing he's going to get a return on it.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't be rich if he was. That sounds like something I would do.
Let's take just a moment. Some of our listeners may never have heard our interviews.
Right.
Some of them might have some of the missing links.
Sure.
I want you to just take a moment, and it's not out of pride, it's not out of self-building, but give our listeners a little bio of your credentials and why you're qualified to say what you're saying.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. I've respected education and academic knowledge my whole life. I went to MIT, which, as you know, is very, you know, it's been the number one ranked university in the world on the QS World University Rankings for 16 years. It's extremely hard to get into. And I was extremely lucky, let's put it that way. I could easily apply again and not get in, but I did get in, and I was a physics major, which is the hardest and most prestigious major there. So I've seen these Goodwill Hunting type kids, and I studied with them, and they're amazing, and that's why it's so hard to get in. But what it's done for me, and I'm not in that category, but what it did for me was it made me respect precision and the nature of proof when you talk about something as serious as this. Mm-hmm. For me to make a claim like there was no SARS-2 virus, believe me, I don't do that in any flippant way at all. This entire volume, the one that you've already introduced to the public on this episode that we're doing, it's volume 2 of my eight-volume series, Sanction the COVID Murders. This volume attacks the sole issue of whether or not there was a SARS-CoV-2 virus or not. And I'm telling you, I've proved that there was no virus. And I'm very proud of this book. You know, it's only 100 pages long before the references come
on. And again,
on.
I don't want to interrupt, but there may be those that are listening saying, well, I had COVID. Don't tell me there's no such thing. Explain that to our listeners.
If someone came up to me and said, listen, I had COVID, it wasn't anything like the flu, it was much worse, I'd say, no, you didn't. You had atypical pneumonia, or you might have had what we've come to call the flu. But remember, you have to dig into what they're saying. I would ask them, how many times in your life have you had a very severe case of the flu? And most people have had about 3 cases where maybe they went to the hospital if they were a little older, they were that sick, or maybe they were just incapacitated at home where they couldn't swallow at all and they could barely get to the bathroom. And this one was way worse, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've only had 3 cases in your life, then one-third of you are going to say it's the worst case you've ever had. Just think about it mathematically, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that's a lot of people that would say it's the worst case I've ever had. The reason I know that it wasn't this new disease, COVID-19, caused by a novel coronavirus, the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus disease number 2, is because that virus didn't exist. There are certain criteria, pillars upon which the existence of a virus rests, okay? And they are the ability of a virus to produce cytopathic effects, which I'll explain what that is if you're interested in just a second. Electron microscopy evidence, meaning you actually see the viruses on the electron a microscope?
Everybody will say, if I could jump in, well, I watched on television. You're saying that. They will say, well, I watched on television. That little round ball with the thorns all over it.
Yeah, there was a spike sticking off
the of spikes,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was computer generated.
Computer generated.
Yes,
what in a microscopic view of a virus? Correct?
Well, correct. It was a computer-generated image that was created by some artist somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There have been no pictures, no electron microscopic pictures of the virus. Now, there have been electron microscopic pictures of round bodies after cells have broken open, which is the cytopathic effect. Mm-hmm. But those round bodies that they're saying are viruses are things called exosomes. They're not viruses. Because if you remember back to your freshman in high school biology class, when you learned how viruses replicate, the viral genetic material gets into the cell and this is the theory now, it hijacks the replication machinery, which is already inside our cells, makes exact copies of itself, right? Because they're all being made from the same instructions. So they have to be exact copies.
Correct.
Okay? And when so many copies have been made, the cell will break open and release all the copies. And then some of those viruses will get into other cells, and some will be exhaled from your mouth to infect another person and so forth. But as they go from cell to cell in your body, pretty soon they've destroyed a lot of your lung cells, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes you sick. But the pictures that they're telling us are viruses from that process are not identical.
Yes.
So they couldn't be viruses.
And
is that crystal clear?
Yes. And one of the things
in this volume, Pastor, just to belabor the point just a little, I give photographs of phages, which are identical copies.
Yes.
Now, those are identical copies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing, by the way, listeners, I'm showing the professor the picture right now. And if you get the book, you'll see the picture.
Yes.
That's what identical copies look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to say that the things inside this big circle here are identical copies. They're not identical at all. They're all different sizes and shapes. So those aren't viruses, but they're claiming they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what I was saying back before when I did the long-winded thing about MIT was, I take my academic background and pedigree very seriously. I'm not about to say something on a radio show that's going to exist forever on the internet and in the radio archives of something that I can't prove. And, you know, I am 100% confident I've proved this now. And someone someday might look at the proof and find something wrong with it. But I don't think so. I mean, remember Isaac Newton, who gave us the laws of motion, is probably the greatest intellect of all time.
Yes.
I think it's fair to mm-hmm. make that guess. That's my guess anyway. And Einstein came along and proved that Isaac Newton wasn't exactly right. For conditions where there's a tremendous velocity or in a very strong gravitational field. So I don't want to get esoteric on physics. I'm just saying it's possible for people to be wrong when for hundreds of years we believe they were right.
Yes. So for us to set the stage for the balance of the broadcast today,
yes. Okay.
If we go back to the fundamentals of what you're saying,
yes, sir.
No COVID-19 virus.
No SARS-CoV-2 virus. We need to be very precise in our language, Pastor, because this is where people get confused. They go, wait, he just told me there was no COVID. No, I never said there was no COVID. I just said COVID was a rebranding of other diseases.
Yes. But
there's no new entity.
The point being, tell our listeners the statistical data that you go by, the number of cases of the illness prior to that.
Right. Let me just say that quickly in our last before the news. In 2019, before COVID reared its ugly head, there were 38 million cases of the flu, what we've come to call the flu, in the world.
Yes.
And in 2020, there were only 1,500.
Globally.
Now, people might go, oh, that reduced a little, didn't it? No, that reduced a lot.
That's right.
That's a ratio of 25,333:1.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much the flu just disappeared.
Rebranding it is what you're talking about.
Yes, it was rebranded. It was rebranded into COVID-19.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall, a physicist major. heart surgeon, a plastic surgeon, and he's here today talking about his new book. The title of the book is SARS-CoV-2 Virus, a Forensic Investigation. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.